Welcome to the November 24th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and verse 13, and the sermon is entitled The Behavior of Love, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful how God is using a sermon series to challenge and to change and to speak to His people. And so today, we approach God's Word. We approach one word that you all are familiar with, and it is the word love. But it is amazing that the Bible's definition of love and our definition of love are very different. And so with that said, I'm going to ask you to open to the love chapter in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We're going to talk about the behavior of love and what love behaves like, what love acts like. When you think of the brightness, there are settings on our electronics that by a slide of a finger or a push of a button, adjustments can be made. Maybe you slide your finger on your phone to adjust the brightness of what you are looking at. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, Paul suggests this. He says that you are looking at something that you can't quite make out the picture. He says in verse number 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." What you are seeing right now is hard to come into view. The brightness needs to be adjusted. And the only way that brightness will be adjusted is one day when you stand in the presence of God. You can't see the big picture now. You can't see all of what God is doing. You heard me tell a couple of those candidates of baptism that I know God was working in their life. I can see it, but I can't see everything God is doing. And so my challenge to everyone was particular today to continue to be faithful. Because if you would have told me when I was saved at 15 and I rummaged through those teenage years that one day I would be standing as pastor of Clifford Baptist Church, I would have laughed in your face. I couldn't see it clearly. But faithfully, day by day and season by season and year by year, God is working. But how does God work? Paul writes to a church. Remember, these are letters to believers. Paul writes to a church in Corinth, and he was talking about ministry and giftings of the people of Corinth, and that they needed to be bathed in love. As Paul made his observation, he could see their different giftings, he could see what was happening, but he also knew what was missing: love. As I challenge you with the Word of God today, I hope that you understand for ministry to work and for life to work, love must be present. And that's Paul's statement. I know many of us are going to go to Thanksgiving dinner this week. And all of us have an Aunt Susie. Maybe you have a Susie, maybe you don't, but all of us have an Aunt Susie in our family. We're going to Thanksgiving dinner. We are expecting to eat something that we've waited one whole year to eat. Somebody makes it really well, and that's Aunt Susie. Whether it's Aunt Susie's pie or Aunt Susie's turkey or Aunt Susie's deviled eggs, I want to try them, okay? We all gather around that knowing this. We all have somebody that makes something special. We anticipated our mouths of water and we cannot wait. But what happens if you sit down to eat and you take Aunt Susie's pie and for some reason Aunt Susie's pie doesn't taste the same? Maybe this past year she was diabetic and she didn't put enough sugar in it. You see, if there's an ingredient missing, you will know. Now, here's what you do with Aunt Susie's pie. You eat it and don't go back for another one, okay? But I wonder how many of our churches are just like Aunt Susie's pie. They change and they get away from love. This chapter, I am guilty of preaching it at weddings, challenging people who get married to love one another as God has loved them. And I don't know if many of them go back to this passage. And I'm guilty today of being the pastor that this is the first time that I've preached on this to a congregation. So other than telling people that are getting married, just go love one another like Jesus loves you, today I just want you to get a picture of what love looks like. Because if we as the church cannot love, we are nothing. Thank you. And if we as Christians don't show love, Paul says, we are nothing. You can go to Hobby Lobby and you can buy the sign that says faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love, and you can hang it in your home with a home that does not have love. You can get a sign, you can do things, you can buy flowers, you can get a tattoo, you can speak words, and those things are all good things, some of them, but I will say this, just because you have them doesn't mean you love somebody. And so when we're talking about the family, today here is the challenge: in the family, is love truly there? I'm not saying is it on a sign. I'm not saying is it on a card. I'm saying is it displayed? And so the behavior of love, and I'm not going to get into this for time's sake, there are four major Greek words that describe love. The English has one, and it's love. We love our dog like we love our wives, like we love God. We use the same word, love. But they are different things. And I'm going to say it, and please don't hate me for it, okay? If you love your dog more than your husband or wife, something needs to change. I'm serious. If you love your dogs more than your kids, something needs to change. So in the Greek, there's one word that we're going to look at. Every time you see charity today or love, that word is agape. It is a self-sacrificing love that you must give of yourself for someone else. That is the love we're talking about. We're not talking about how you love mama and daddy, how you love husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. We're talking about a love that sacrifices because you love someone else, which means you have to give of yourself. So take your Bibles. Look with 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Point number one today, and I'm going to tell you this, I will substitute the word love for charity in your Bibles as I read that. So everywhere you see charity, love is a better word. Paul is saying this, the behavior of love, point number one, stops the noise. Stops the noise. Paul is writing to believers, to the church, as he is talking about spiritual gifts. And he says there are good gifts that we all have, but there is a better way to do them, and there's something that needs to be added to those spiritual gifts and those spiritual needs. And they are all controlled by love. So listen to me, when you volunteer in the ministry of the church, or when you are at your workplace, or when you are at home, you do things out of a source and a well of love. So I can meet you at the door of Clifford Baptist Church, and I can shake your hand, and I can tell you, welcome to church, and that's just as important if it's done the right way than me standing right here today. Paul says, I can speak with eloquence. I can speak like the angels. Or I can speak in the tongues of men. I can speak in different languages. So I can have the perfect words and the perfect pronunciation and the perfect inflection. And it all sound good in my own mind. But when it is received, it is sounding like clanging cymbals. I don't know how many of you have bought your kids drums. God bless you. Language without love is simply a loud noise. That's what Paul is teaching us. A cymbal in the right place and the right environment is complimentary and beautiful, but if it is out of place and offbeat, it is obnoxious. And that is what Paul is saying here. Hallmark makes millions because they say what I really want to say. And I go and buy that card, and if I give it to the person thinking these words are so beautiful, and you hand it and it's not the true love behind that card, you're simply making noise. And so the challenge today is this: words must have action. Because words without action are simply noise. The behavior of love doesn't simply scream, "I love you." It shows love day in and day out. Now, I'm not going to diminish discussions or discipline, but we must display our love to one another through our actions. So, today, the first challenge, the behavior of love stops the noise. Quit saying one thing and doing something totally different. Quit doing that to your family. Quit doing that to God. If you tell God you love Him, you ought to be worshiping Him somewhere every week with the collective body of believers. That's what the Bible teaches. If you love God, you will grow in God. So don't be a clanging cymbal. Shut out the noise. Point number two, look at verses 2 and 3. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." Point number two, the behavior of love, we need to stave off the nothings. When we think of those words that are used here, there are two words that are used over and over, the word "all" and the word "nothing." Paul says, "I can have the gift of prophecy and knowledge and faith, and I can even have so much faith that I could say that this mountain, it will be removed because of my faith. I want you to know it can still be nothing." So finish this sentence for me. Faith without works is dead or nothing. It's dead. So faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible teaches us. We know that. But here's what the Bible also teaches us: that faith without love is nothing. Faith without love is nothing. Paul says, "I can feed the poor. I can give them my time and my energy. I can give them my money. I can go work at the food bank." That's what Paul is saying here. I can go do that. And if I don't have love in my heart, I'm not doing a thing. I'm just wasting time. I am nothing. Just because you give, listen to me, church, doesn't mean you love. A card or a present or money does not mean that you love. And yes, the preacher's going to say, just because you tithe to the church doesn't mean you love Jesus. You can give everything. Paul says, "I can lay it all down. I can give and I can give, but without love, I give nothing." He said, "I can make the greatest sacrifice." Look at verse number 3. He says, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul says, I can make the greatest sacrifice. I could lay my life down. I could be killed because of my faith. I could die a martyr's death. And without the presence of love, I am nothing. So Paul is saying this. Whether it's prophecy or knowledge or faith or giving or martyrdom, add it all up and it can equal nothing. Let's think about me and you. Think of all the things that you do for your family. Don't think of all of them. Just think of some of them. And I know some of you sitting here today say, I do this, and I cook, and I clean, and I go to the groceries, and I do the clothes, and I mow the grass, and I blow the leaves, and I keep the kids, and we can make out lists. But all of those things, if you add them up and leave love out, they can equal nothing. If you come in the back doors of this church and say, I do this, or I do that, or I do this, or I do that, and you're not doing them with love, you're not doing anything. And so I think what is missing in our families and in our church family is a great gift, and that great gift is love. It is why I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to come to church this morning to prepare for this day, not only because I love you, but because I love Jesus. That love should motivate and should permeate everything that you do. Does it? Does it? We have to be careful, because we can have a big church, and in the eyes of God, if we're missing love, we're nothing. Point number three, look at verses 4-7. I will hit these fairly quickly. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We like that last part. We like verse number 8, where love does not fail. But there are some things that you must do as a believer in Christ, but also within your family. See to it that you do these things. There are 7 things very quickly that love is. Love is long-suffering or patient. The word long-suffering may best describe the idea that love suffers through so much and suffers for a long amount of time. Love is not always a Disney movie or a Hallmark movie or a beautiful moment, because love must suffer. I know there's an anniversary coming up over here. Maybe it was mentioned while I was in the back. I didn't hear nothing about it. I don't know who's suffering. Reggie and Marianne, 60 years. Has it been patient? All right, moving on. I'm not going to put them on the spot, okay? In order to make it 60 years, love has to be patient. It's not always beautiful, but it's got to be long-suffering. It's got to make it through the hard roads and the hard bumps in the road. So love is patient and love is kind. In verse number 4, it holds hands with patience. Kindness does. It turns the other cheek. It helps you to love the enemy. Kindness serves, and it is generous to all people. It is the earmark to a Christian in a world that is full of self-seekers and a world full of hate. They can mark you out because of your kindness. They know that something is different. They can't put their finger on it, but they know something is different here. I'm to the age now where if people look at me and tell me something's different, I'm okay with it, because I know it's Jesus. Love is patient, it is kind, it rejoices in truth. For the third thing, it delights in the truth of God. Love does not compromise God's word. Look at me and listen to me. When we talk about love, love does not mean that you approve everything, that you agree with everything, that you just say, come on in, we'll take you as you are. No, Jesus did not take any one of us as we were. He changed us and made us more like Him. He took an old wretched sinner and began His work 25 years ago in my life. Love does not put your arm around sin and say it is okay. No, your love puts your arm around the sinner and says God can lead you closer to Him. There's a difference. Does that make sense? Love is patient and kind. It rejoices in truth. And it does four things in verse number 7. It bears all things. So it talks about protection. It talks about caring for those that are around you. It believes all things. It trusts with confidence that God is going to take care of things. It hopes all things. It has an expectation of joy and hope. It doesn't see failure as an end. And by the grace of God, love instills hope into every situation. I'm going to come back there in just a second. And it endures all things. It perseveres. It remains. It is a military term for defending your position at all costs. So love defends the position at all costs. It endures to defend. I will tell you this. Some of you, and I'm in this group, have family that you're concerned about. I know today that I'm talking to some mom and dads that are concerned about their wayward children. I know you pray. God knows you pray. When I read this verse, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here's what I want you to know to those wayward family members. Just love them like Jesus would. When you have to speak truth and you know it's going to hurt, pray about it, but speak the truth in love. There are so many situations around this room today, and I cannot speak to every one of them, but I have never gone wrong by telling them, I love you. I don't agree with you. I don't like where you are. I don't agree with your thinking, but I still love you. And Jesus does too. Today, I know there are some people that need to be encouraged in that. So those are the things that love does. There are some things that love does not do. Very quickly, through those same verses, love does not envy, which means it does not hold a feeling of jealousy. You don't want the evil to happen to them. Love does not boast or brag. It does not make known what you have done. And listen to me, it does not build yourself up. You can't sit there and win an argument with whoever in your family or your coworker by saying this, I love you because, and then list the things that you have done to show your love. The greatest thing to do is zip your lips and get back to serving. Show them you love them. So love, it does not envy, it does not boast. It is not arrogant. It is not puffed up with pride. And pride is that word where you think you are the best and you know it all and you are the one that God has put in your family to lead your family. That's hogwash if it's not love. I don't care who you are. If you can't lead your family out of a place of love, you need to pray about that. But love doesn't say, look at me and look at what I've done. It is not arrogant or puffed up. It does not act unseemly or unbecoming. Rude, poor manners, carelessness is not an attribute of love. Love is not self-seeking. Its own way or idea, it is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. And the anger is the word here. You should not have to walk on eggshells around the people that love you. Amen? If it's easily provoked, love is not easily provoked. Love does not keep record. It does not keep permanent record. I'm going to write that down. You write people off. Are you one of those people that when somebody does something, says something, messes up, you write them off for the rest of their life? There are people in this room like this. I used to be one of them. But here's what I want you to know. God didn't write me off. I've given him reason after reason after reason to strike me dead. And praise be to God, by the grace of God, he hadn't done it yet. Love doesn't write people off. It doesn't keep a permanent record. It forgives, and when things are remembered or brought to mind, it forgives again. And then the last thing, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, or it does not glorify evil. Now look, you got the fast forward version of verses 4 through 7. Of what love is and what love isn't. Your homework is to go home and study those. It's just 3 verses. But in those 3 verses, there are 15 things that love either is or isn't that we need to make ourselves familiar with. You know these words. Love never fails. And in verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these 3, but the greatest of these is love. I want you to know that love is the greatest. And it does not fail. We are commanded to love our enemies. We are commanded to love our neighbors. We are commanded to love one another. And we are commanded to love God throughout this book. Here's what I want you to know. It will not always be perfect. But we must be consistent in our love. And the question I leave you with today is this. How does love sound, and what does love look like in your family? Paul says this in these verses in between. There was a point in his life that he put away the childish things. And he became a man. I want to end this sermon by saying this. At some point in our life, we got to look in the mirror. And though we can't see the whole picture, we got to see if God is at work in our life. If love is present in our home. Because before love can be present in a church, it's got to be present in homes. If love doesn't look like this, there's hope. As a teenage boy, I learned this. Jesus loves me. We teach that to our kids. We get them to stand up in front of the church and sing it. And then when we get old, we forget, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. The only way that my kids can know love, that my wife can know love, that my family can know love, is that I love Jesus. And the love of Jesus flows through me to those that are around me. My prayer is this. As we talk grown-up talk, there's a time that we've got to put away the childish things and become men and women of God, church. And instead of talking about judgment and hatred, we talk about love and forgiveness. Grown-ups do that. Children hold grudges. Today, maybe you are here And you know you are loved by your family. You know you're loved by your friends. You know you're loved by your coworkers. But you've never known the love that Jesus Christ offers. Real quick, there's a picture of it. That picture of love is when Jesus went to the cross. I don't think they had to force him to stretch out his hands. I think he laid them out. Amen. And he went to that cross with the sin of the world, with your sin and my sin, hanging on his shoulders. And he died for you and me. That is the greatest love you will ever know.
Amen.
And today, if you do not know the love of Jesus, look in that mirror. More importantly, look to our God. And just simply say in some way, not my words, make it your own words. God, I'm a sinner and I'm in desperate need of your love and your salvation in my life. I want you to be my Lord. And if you will save a wretched sinner like me, I will live for you for the rest of my life. Lord, please save me today. And God will do that work. Today, this altar is open. Not for just those who need Jesus. But maybe there's somebody that wants to pray for that wayward child. You bring them before the Lord. Maybe there's something going on that you need to deal with before the Lord. There will be pastors up here, but if you want to do business with God, this is the place to do business with God. We invite you to do so today. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you for a moment in which we come before a holy God. Lord, it's not about any one of us, but it's about you. It's about putting words to action. It's about putting reason to action. It's about a heart change for some people. It's about growing up. It's about becoming men and women instead of boys and girls in the faith. God, teach us today through your holy word what love looks like and what love does and what love doesn't do and what love sounds like. God, in this moment, I pray that you will work. That you will do the work that no human being can do, because God, you can change hearts and you can change lives. I pray your Holy Spirit works now. God, thank you for meeting us here in this place. We give it to you now in Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.